I created my business when I gave up dieting.
Yeah.
Because it literally takes over your whole entire mind. And if you take a look at even where dieting came from, it's a form of like women's suppression.
Oh.
Because we're so goddamn powerful. Oh, wait, what can we make women preoccupied with so they don't understand their power? Oh, yeah, let's just teach them like they need to diet forever. Mm-hmm. Job done. They've done a good job, don't you think, until now?
Welcome, welcome to PS I Love Me, the podcast. I am your host, Gina Swire, international self-love expert, coach, author, and manifesting queen. And I am on a mission to help a billion women fall madly in love with themselves and get everything they want in their life. And that, my friend, includes you. This podcast is for down-to-earth women who love spirituality, manifesting, and laughing at life's challenges. And remember, with self-love, anything is possible.
Welcome to another episode of PS I Love Me. And today I am interviewing the beautiful, radiant, ever glowing, ever positive, ever happy Joy Codes Victoria Kleinsman. So welcome, Victoria.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation, Gina.
So excited to have you. And that this topic is the topic that most people ask me about. And, you know, it's a huge part of my journey, obviously your journey as well. That's where we kind of intersect. And all of our clients, I think it's just such a global thing. So do you want to tell them a little bit about what you do and why you do it?
Absolutely. I will keep a long story short so we can get into the juice and the value, of course. Mm-hmm. So why I do what I do? Well, first of all, let me share with you what I do. My title is a food freedom and body love coach, and I help women to make peace with food, become besties with their body, and fall madly in love with themselves.
Yay!
That's what I do. And how I got here and why I do this is because I've been through my own journey of anorexia, bulimia, binge eating disorder. There was an abusive relationship thrown in there as well for 6 years that added to it all. Came on my own healing journey, became obsessed with personal development, which led me into spiritual development, which led me into certifications in psychology, nutrition, and spirituality. And then I basically help women who were me 5 years ago. So like through my own personal experience is where my magic truly lies, I believe.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. I'm so happy that you get to do this work, and I'm so happy to see you on this journey. And yeah, it's amazing. And anytime we've had conversations about this, you're always dropping the truth bombs, like just the way you explain this. And I watch your stories and your lives and things. Like whenever I watch it, I always learn something. And even though, you know, we come in from a similar path, but you have your own unique angle. So that's what I really want to share with our gorgeous listeners today.
It's an honor to share in my own way, because I get a lot of feedback in terms of, and this is the case for every thought leader, I believe, like there's nothing new under the sun really, but the way that I will say something, someone will just get it. Absolutely. And the way that you will say something, someone will just get it. And they might have heard the same thing like 40 times before from someone else, but there's just a frequency and a vibration that someone just gets. And then, so I love to take my experience, my certifications, my knowledge, and speak to the person in front of me and speak to my audience, which was me 5 years ago, in language and in terms of like that I can really understand and get it. That's what I really love to do.
Yeah, your empathy levels are very high for sure. Of course, going through the journey that you've been through. So what is your version of food freedom these days? What does that look like?
Love that question. So food freedom for me, and this is what I teach with my clients as well, is being able to be free from obsessive food thoughts, first and foremost. So, I mean, in my eating disorder days, I would be either thinking what I can have, what I can't have, what I shouldn't have, what have I had, what can I have, all that, all the things that I'm sure you've experienced yourself, mm-hmm. thinking about what I'm going to eat for dinner when I'm like eating breakfast, or in my anorexia days, being so petrified of food, mm-hmm. and then spending my whole entire day praying and hoping that nobody will ask me to eat anything. So it's like the, you mentioned the pendulum swing in life a lot from your journey. I've experienced that myself on such a deep level. So being free from obsessive food thoughts, number one. The second thing in terms of like physical eating, eating what you want, when you want, whenever you want, however you want, that's the biggest part of freedom. But that also means being able to say no thank you to your favorite foods or your quote binge foods, just because maybe you don't want to feel that way after eating it, or because you have an important meeting in an hour's time. So it's freedom across all boards, really. That's what food freedom means to me.
That was a mic drop right there. So being able to have what you want, when you want, and how you want, and not be completely obsessed with having it or not having it. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, essentially loving yourself enough to be like, I might want to have this right now, but later it's not going to feel good. So I'm going to self-love myself through the whole process rather than just right now. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's like wellness without the obsession. Like, I care about my health, and I also don't want to make health a moral issue either, because some people can do that and they can health shame people, and that's not okay, but people don't really realize they're doing it most of the time. But in terms of health, that is a value of mine. It's a value of every one of my client also that I've ever helped. And so the question then becomes, how can I prioritize my health and well-being so we actually feel vibrant and energetic? Because food is thy medicine as well, right? Let's not forget that. Yeah. But at the same time, how can I be free from the counting and the weighing and the restriction? And there's a process you have to go through. And the all-in process that I teach in terms of like no restrictions off the bat is very liberating, very scary, because the weight gain can come, it sometimes does, it sometimes doesn't, everyone's different. But then eventually you get to a point where, like, I myself have experienced eating chocolate for 3 months for like breakfast, lunch and dinner with very little else. You feel like shit. Your body wants to be healthy. So then the question is, right, okay, I've got that all out of my system. I have no food rules. I'm not going to diet again. How can I start to prioritize my health, my well-being, my energy? And that's the conversation I love to have. But we have to do the really scary bit first and just drop all the food rules, which can be really scary.
Right. Yeah. So like full on anti-dieting, anti-restrictions, anti-everything, literally have whatever you want. And yeah. Untie those cords that are so like, yeah.
That's it. Because allowance creates space for choice, right? Especially for people who have been chronic dieting, because I'm going to drop another like one-liner here.
Oh, can't wait.
Dieting is not an action. It's a state of mind.
Ooh.
Meaning, I can have a green drink, which is a quote diet behavior, if someone was to judge that, but be completely in food freedom because I choose that for my health. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, I could also have a tub of Ben and Jerry's and not be binging at all and be living in food freedom because I choose that pleasurable experience of eating that, watching a movie, over the potentiality it might have over my health goals. Allowance creates space for choice, basically, but it's a mindset. So a diet isn't an action, it's a state of mind.
Wow, let's let that land for a second. Mm-hmm. Wow, I wish I'd have been taught this at school. I really do. Amongst all the other things that we weren't taught at school. Okay, so allowance allows space for choice.
Exactly. And dieting is not an action. It's a state of mind. And also, you know, people And I used to think this before I started my journey and I started to delve into like food freedom, intuitive eating, because food freedom and intuitive eating go hand in hand. However, because dieting is not an action, it's a state of mind, people can so very easily, and I've done this for countless times, turn intuitive eating into a diet also. So then you put yourself on the intuitive eating diet, which means, okay, intuitive eating's their guidelines are eat when you're physically hungry, stop when you've had enough, and eat what you want. Sounds simple enough. Yet a dieter has a mind of a dieter, black, white, all nothing. There's a line. This is good. This is bad. Wow. What happens when someone brings in freshly baked cookies and you're not hungry? You simply want one for the pleasure of having one. Is that bad and wrong then because you've eaten when you're not hungry? What about when you're maybe not paying attention and you eat past fullness and you're like, oh shit, I've failed that. I'm going to start intuitive eating again tomorrow. That's why mindset is so key, and allowance is the foundation of everything I teach, because it sounds counterintuitive. Allow everything, allow chocolate. Literally, I'm saying as an expert in this, allow everything. And some people will be like, how is that healthy? And I'm like, bring on the questions, because I can explain that allowance creates space for choice. If you say to a child, don't touch that, everything else you can touch, but don't touch that red teddy. Well, we know how human behavior works, right? And having said this to yourself chronically over many years of dieting, then you fail because you're fighting your biology. It's not even about willpower. And I'd love to go into that. We feel like we've failed. We feel shit about ourselves. And then therefore we start all over again. And then 20 years later, you get to a point where you're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah. Wow. You know, of all these years, of all the different like breakthroughs and things that I've personally had in my own journey, so I've talked about this a lot on my own podcast, but if anyone doesn't know, I grew up dieting. You know, I my mum was a dieter, and I just, that's what I learned. You know, that's what I did. Everyone around me was dieting. It was all about being skinny, like Posh Spice and Paris Hilton, and all those were my idols, size zero. And then when I all through modeling, I was just always the smallest at work, but always the biggest of my friends and in this weird reality. And then when I became a nutritionist and a health coach at about 30, and I learned about emotional eating, and I realized that I'd been binge eating and all that was linked to me. I learned it all basically. Then my pendulum swung the complete opposite way. And there were so many things that I wasn't having, you know, which was super healthy in a way. And I did feel really free in a way. But it was also ringing up restaurants before to see if they could make this dish without this, this, and this, and kind of bonkers. I also did the whole vegan things. That was, again, very restrictive. And then, and then over the years, I've kind of like ebbed and flowed. And last year I gained a load of weight and kind of like went back into some old habits and patterns. And I was like, interesting, like I'm doing these things again that I used to do and I've not done for 7 years, and now I'm doing them again. And so more recently I've had like a new rewiring again, which I've realized that I'd taken on these beliefs. And actually, when I've gone into where does this thought come from? It's been usually from like influential men in my life, around intermittent fasting, eating lots of healthy fats, not so much eating carbs, and just these, and also don't eat if you're not hungry as well. And basically my metabolism had stopped. So I've been shifting things around, and now I'm like on this new kind of, I'm just seeing how I've taken on like all these stories, and I've just been readdressing them, and now I've come back into harmony. So it's just fascinates me that, you know, that it's a bit like anything in life, you know, like a workout regime could be working for one person but not for another, or it might work at one time and then it shifts and you need something different. It's fascinating.
It is. And you know how you teach, and that I've learned so much from you, that all the answers that you're ever looking for ultimately are within you, right? That goes to say the same with your body and food. So your body was built, like was born with a built-in calorie counter, if you like, meaning that your body gives you cravings for a reason. It has fullness and hunger signals for a reason. And so if we get out of our own way and actually start paying attention to what our body's communicating to us, and start, this is the magic word, trusting that. Because we don't want to trust that, because we're like judging the shit out of ourselves when our body might maybe say, do you know what? Today I want like a cheese toastie with like a red onion chutney and sweet chili sauce. And then your mind might be like, there's too much sugar in there, too much carbs, not enough, blah, 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 blah. And if you don't trust your body stops trusting you. And that sounds a little bit, not that your body doesn't trust you, Gina, but in terms of your metabolism, it's like, what the fuck do you want me to do? Are we eating? Are we not eating? Are we eating carbs? Are we not eating carbs? And it's very interesting as well. Like when someone will cut out gluten, for an example, when they don't have a gluten intolerance, your body, because our bodies are so clever and very efficient, it will stop making that enzyme that digests gluten, because it's like, okay, we don't need this anymore. Let's stop producing it. And so then what happens when further along the line, you want something with gluten in it, you'll have a reaction to it, and it will therefore, you know, its own feedback loop of, oh, I knew gluten was bad for me. But if you give your body chance for it to trust you again over time, it will bring that enzyme right back again.
Yeah. Oh, this is just music to my ears. And that actually happened to me when I went vegan, because all of a sudden I was like, dairy is so bad, and it humans shouldn't be ingesting it, and it's stealing it from baby calves. And I was all like vegan preachy, which is a period of life that I did. And I remember I went to the cinema with my little niece and nephew and my mom and my sister-in-law, and they were all getting Ben and Jerry's, and I was like, don't fail. And they didn't have any vegan, and I was like, and I was already angry at myself because I was getting the non-vegan one, but I was doing a cheat meal, even though I didn't do cheat meals, but I was cheating my veganism. Went in the cinema, nailed it because I'd not had it for so long, and then 2 minutes later my stomach was like, and I was like, oh shit, I'm going to shit myself in the cinema. I didn't. But and my mum was like, Gina, you're making yourself ill. And I was like, no, it's the dairy, the cows.
But it's in, imagine if you would like, I mean, and this is a different conversation, obviously, in terms of dairy. And I buy responsibly as much as possible. Ben and Jerry's probably isn't responsible buying in terms of cows, let's be honest. However, this is a big topic here, but let's stick to what we're talking about. Your mum was right in terms of, because you had taken all of it out, your body's like, okay, cool, we don't need to process this. Then it comes in, it's like, whoa, okay, we're going to have to take a bit of time to get used to this again. And then because we're changing our minds all the time with the influence from what we have from the diet culture and the beauty culture, and obviously trying to stay small, because I literally thought until 5 years ago, you're born, so therefore you just diet, right? Because that's just what you do.
Same.
And then when I first heard about intuitive eating, I was like, hold on a minute, wait, what? Hold on. So you can live your life, not diet, and love your body? Like what? Like, hold on a minute, what? Like it was literally like a whole new world, literally.
I know it. I've been in that. I remember the first time I ever thought, wait a minute, I could not be constantly wanting to lose weight. I remember doing a post about it when I had this light bulb thing, because everyone I know was just trying to lose a few pounds, or I'd just love to lose a few pounds or a lot of weight, you know. And I was always like, I'm all right, but I'd love to lose, if I could just lose half a stone, I'd, you know, feel great. And I remember the first time I was like, wait a minute, I couldn't be completely happy as I am, and I could not want to lose weight. And how would that be? I'd never done it before. And I started sharing about it, and people were like, wait, I could do that.
Wow, that is incredible that you got that download, because I had to be influenced, and thank God I was, by someone else giving me that permission slip, or like opening the door for me. But for, how powerful for you to just sit there and have that realization of, maybe I could love myself as I am in the body I am now. Like, what? Wow, that's nice.
Exactly. Because the thing is, even if I, and I did many times, lose half a stone or a stone or whatever, and then I still just wanted to lose half a stone.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like I ever stopped wanting to lose the half a stone. So I just realized that, and I was like, I'm just going to eradicate this. And I did. And that was basically like, it's basically body acceptance. It's like, this is what my body's like, and I accept it.
Yeah. Powerful. And no change can ever come from shame. So if someone's wanting to improve their health and improve their physical fitness and eat more vegetables and all of that, which I absolutely encourage, if it feels right for the individual, no change can come from shame anyway. So if you're looking at it from a success model, then accepting your body, loving it can come after, absolutely. But the first step is acceptance always, like not fighting reality. Like magic can come from that. So in terms of the success model, you may as well accept your body, because you're going to get where you want to get to a lot quicker, and you're going to enjoy the journey to get there.
Yeah. And when, like, I love what you said there, you accepting your body and loving your body is actually different. And it's, you know, self-love is really self-acceptance. And then on top of that comes love. And that was it for me as well. Like the first initial downloads about this, like where I stopped dieting and I stopped hating my body and I stopped trying to change it and tweak it and lose weight and refine and all these things. The first time that happened, it wasn't like, I just love my body. It wasn't that. It was just, this is what it is. This is it. You know, it was actually very humble, and it was very simple and very grounded and very like neutral. That's the best word for it.
Perfect word, neutral, because we need to start with neutrality. And then from that place can be, we can get to a state of gratitude and deep appreciation. And then from that state, we can get to body love. And when I mean body love, I don't mean I am so fucking hot right now. That can absolutely, that can be bred from body love. But body love is, you know, like self-love, treating your body and appreciating your body the way you would someone who you love very much. But in terms of like, when you see a photo of yourself, I experienced this a couple of years ago for the first time, and it brought tears to my eyes because I truly understood and felt what body love was. I saw a photo of myself. My initial judgment was, wow, my arms, like, are they really that big? And then that just melted away. And all I felt was, you know, when you see your mum, you just see your mum, or you see a fit, and you just like, that's my, you just have a, your heart just swells a little bit because that's just your mum. It's just a love, familiar, just love. It's just there. I felt that towards myself on the photo, because it didn't matter what my arms looked like. I just felt this sense of, but that's me, and I just love me. And I was just like, oh my God, wow. And then from that place can come body positivity, which I think, you know, in this world, which is absolutely fantastic, we're getting more and more body positive. But I want people to understand that it's absolutely okay if you're struggling to be positive about your body, because you, it, you need to go in those stages, and you don't have to be body positive in order to love your body. Because it doesn't really matter. And when you get to that state of, it doesn't actually matter, that's a very powerful and grounded place to be. And then you can get into body positivity and look in the mirror and think, I'm so fucking hot right now, and know it.
Yeah.
But it comes from that, that foundation of neutrality.
Wow. I really love this conversation. It's doing the things. It's really like, it's really inspiring me, and it's, yeah. So my question with this is, oh, and I remember that. I remember you doing that post about the arms as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had a thing about my arms because I've got big arms. I've worked out. I've fat on my arms. And now I love my arms because they're on me. They're my arms, you know?
Same. I hated my arms because my mum didn't like hers. And same, you know, I carry weight on my arms and legs. And also then, because I had all these beliefs and because my arms look the way they do, when I then started modeling, I remember I went into this agency and I had this cute little picture of me at like 17 looking over my shoulder like this. And I was thin for me then, you know, I was like half the size I am now. Mm. And the woman who's this, like, you know, model agent type, this older woman, I'll never forget, she literally pointed at it with this big long nail and she went, "This girl's got a fat arm."
Oh, I just, no.
Died on the spot. And obviously, completely, I was like, yeah, I have, you're right, but died, you know. And yeah, just ever since then, you know, on pictures I would stand either like this or like with, you know, I'd make sure two people were either side of me, and I would do any, I would always have my arms covered and my legs, you know, never shorts, never short skirts, never things that showed off my figure. Mm. Until a certain age, and then I was like, you know what, sack this, I'm getting it all out.
And then, like, the biggest thing that I took away from one of your teachings one time was this quote, and when you said this, I was like, oh right, let me just get it right. You attract what you believe about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard you say that and I was like, oh my god, everything just made complete sense. And then from that moment on, I was like, what if I believe something else about myself? And am I going to attract that? Yes, because the way the law of attraction works. So isn't that interesting that you think you attracted that situation into your life to prove to yourself, yeah, your arms are, quote, too fat.
Absolutely. And it's not the universe being like, let's take her down while she's down. It's actually the universe being like, let's give her this experience so it's so bad that she gets, it's an opportunity to be like, actually, is this actually right? Yeah. And another version of that is that I used to hate, you know, the inside bit of the legs, like right up at the top, the squidgy bit. Mm-hmm. And I always used to stand in the mirror and be like, I wish I could just slice that off completely and just have a nice toned leg. And then when I got to that point of body acceptance and neutrality, that was 2 weeks before I met my then partner, Eric, who was my first like love of my life. And instantly his favorite part of me was that. He was like, I love this bit. And I was just like, that's interesting, isn't it? Because I'd, for the first time, accepted it. And in the past, I'd had different guys who'd been like, oh, if you were just a bit thinner, or, oh, if you, you know, and then now I never have that anymore.
So the magic of creating your own reality is just, well, it's magic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what I was going to say is, my question is, when and if we, our bodies ebb and flow, and mm-hmm. you know, personally, I stacked on a load of weight in my last relationship. It also correlated to COVID. Me and my ex-partner had a big bit of news that I've talked about, but it was just like a really stressful time. And it wasn't actually that I was eating anymore, but I think I was in like fight or flight and just stressed, you know, and gained a load of weight. How does this body neutrality go with that? You know, what's your take on it?
Again, great question, because a lot of the work that I do with clients, when we first had the consultation call, I asked them, if I had a magic wand, what would you wish for in 3 months' time after coaching, right, together? And they sheepishly say, like, I would love to lose weight. And I'm there like, of course you would. And thank you for being honest, because otherwise you wouldn't have been in the circle you've been in for however long. Yeah. Because trying to lose weight is, of course, your eating to be all the things that it is, right? So weight loss is like me saying to you, Gina, would you like £1 billion?
Hmm.
Well, of course you're going to accept. Okay, then, thank you. So if you must. So weight loss, or saying to someone, would you like to lose half a stone, whatever? Of course you're going to take it. And because society celebrate weight loss,
mm-hmm.
because we live in a dualistic world, the opposite to that, and it, trust me, this is said, and everyone knows that this is said, not just because we live in a dualistic world, but weight gain is like it feels like the worst thing in the world. because weight gain is fat, which is adipose tissue, basically, and fat doesn't grow with shame cells. However, the world we live in, it feels like every like pound we put on, there's extra like shame cells that are like growing with it. And so first and foremost, I understand how that feels, because the work I do, some women do gain weight, some women lose weight, some women stay the same weight. I personally gained weight. I'm like 2.5 stone heavier than when I first met my now fiance, like in the disordered eating. This is what food freedom looks like to me in the body I have today. So weight gain initially can be very, very uncomfortable, not only physically, because you've got to get used to like your new body, like moving around and clothes, but more so emotionally. It can be very emotionally uncomfortable. And I always like to invite my clients to get pen and paper, because journaling, a lot comes through with journaling. Why is gaining weight such a bad thing? And it sounds pretty obvious because so many of us are so scared of it. But when you really get personal and start to explore, hold on, what am I making weight gain mean? It can connect to failure because of, you know, the upbringing, the childhood you perhaps had. It can connect to all sorts of things, but it usually leads in like not good enough, feeling shameful. And so if we get clear on like what weight gain even means, it helps us to move forward from this place. Mm-hmm. And then there's always a choice. So alongside the mirror work, which is body acceptance, neutrality, be okay with looking, notice the judgments, give yourself compassion, all of that like active work you can do, it's always a choice of, right, okay, so I've gained weight. What else have I gained? I've gained weight and I'm no longer binge eating. I've gained weight and I literally eat what the fuck I want. I've gained weight and so many things that you've gained as well as weight. And then also in terms of like, if we wanted to lose weight, how would your life really be different if you were to lose weight? And so that can help with the weight gain. Okay, let's like play make believe. Let's say you lose the stone, 2 stone, whatever. What would actually be different? Because when it gets down to it, the list that my clients make, we can achieve that and they can feel those things, because everything comes down to a feeling, not an actual thing, in the body they have.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's all about what we make the fat mean, more so than the actual physical weight gain.
This is super powerful, super powerful. So to anyone listening, what does weight gain mean and what does weight loss mean? Yeah, I bet that is. So I'm going to do that myself, definitely. And I just wanted to stack up in with this, because having done a lot of travel and gone to a lot of countries where weight loss isn't as highly celebrated, and actually even going to countries such as Africa where weight gain is really celebrated, and getting to live in a, it's like being on a different planet, and also having a partner who, you know, when we first met and he's Africa, came from Africa, like, because my weight has ebbed and flowed over the years we've known each other. Sometimes I'd be super slim and toned and gone to the gym and he'd be almost disappointed. You know? And then I'd gain weight and I would have felt back in the day a bit like, oh, a bit like you said, a bit of failure, a bit of this, a bit of that, not good enough. And then he'd be like, whoa. And so when we actually got together, because I know that's how he's been brought up, but yeah, we had to have like a really honest conversation about it, because I was like, it's a little bit like plus size modeling, because in my modeling job, I was always, they always wanted me to be a bit bigger, always a bit bigger. And then I was with a partner who was like, oh, it's great if you're a bit bigger, da da da. But then I was like, I really need to listen to myself and what feels good for me. Oh, it was such an amazing exploration, but also, yeah, it was just a lot, you know, it's the opposite.
Isn't that incredible to think of? Because exactly as you've shared, there's some cultures, and I can't think what it is offhand without referring to my notes, where young women, instead of taking fat loss pills, which I would advise no one to ever do, by the way, trust me, I've been there, done that, illegal ones, legal ones, just fucks you up. They actually take pills to make them be hungrier, so then they actually gain weight because fatness is celebrated. And I don't agree with that either, because like you said, it's whatever is right for you and your body. Your body knows best. Your body's going to do what she's going to do. It's your job to take care of yourself in terms of nourishment, mental nourishment, emotional nourishment, physical nourishment, and your body's going to be what it's going to be, right? It's the letting go of the control of that. So imagine living in a society, and this is a bit of make-believe here, where the only models you had ever seen growing up were a size 16 plus.
Yeah.
I guarantee so many of us would feel so much different about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet the disordered eating statistics would be cut at least in half.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, just this is coming up to share. So me and Kim, as you know, Kim Miller, my bestie. Yes. So we've just been on our travels. And so my pattern is gaining weight. Like, you know, gaining weight is very, it happens to me. Kim's, if anything is stressful or like when she had a breakup, she will lose weight naturally and I'll gain it. So it's always like, okay. And so anyway, we're on our travels and me having had been carrying more weight and, you know, I'll be being on my health kick and going to the gym and we both are. And I'd been feeling like, I feel heavy. I feel like I need to make some healthier refinement. And, you know, so I was on that and basically I'd been attracting all these different men. And when I was with Kim and they were all celebrating my curves and my body and everything, which is no surprise because I really celebrate myself in all phases and all stages. And then one day I was talking to Kim and she was like, oh, I just feel like sometimes I feel like I just need to get some more curves. And I was like, you know, because I'm trying to slim it down. And then she was having this same thing the other way, which I've never heard Kim have that before. But it was just because we're living in close proximity and she was seeing, and these men were reflecting this back to me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, this just really puts it in perspective of, firstly, wanting what you don't have.
Always.
You know, whenever I look at Kim, she's so athletic. She's got these slim legs. There's no cellulite on her. Abs. And I'm just like, I haven't got any of them. And I'm like, what? Wait, this is comparisonitis. This is not having what you, wanting what you don't have. And all these things just compiled together into one juicy conversation where we ended up laughing our heads off at our humanness.
I love that. And it is humanness. So those that are struggling to maybe accept their body or like, how the fuck am I supposed to get to body positivity then? Yeah. It's just being gentle with yourself, taking any pressure off. And like I just shared, when you feel good in your body, that could look like working out most days. For some people, not everybody, that could look like ensuring you're adding in vegetables, adding in fruits. In my opinion, taking away never really works because it's a restriction. And with the law of physics, any restriction has an equal and opposite reaction over time. So like, you know, when I was disordered eating, 9% body fat doing fitness modeling, I could suppress my biology for, I think it was about 3 years I stayed in that body. And then ultimately all hell broke loose. I let go of the, it's like, if you imagine a bow and arrow, you pull the arrow back in the bow, any kind of restriction, like let's say Atkins or something quite extreme like the cabbage soup diet, I still literally can't eat vegetable soup because of my trauma from that. You're pulling the bow back quite far. At some point, no matter how long and how strong you're holding on, at some point, because of the law of physics, you're going to let go of that pull. And then because of physics, that arrow is going to go as equal and as far as how far you've pulled that bow back. And that's the law of physics. So that's how I like to describe like restriction and dieting. When I was on the intuitive eating diet, I was only pulling the bow back like a little bit, but I was still pulling it back. So therefore the arrow would probably flop in front of me and without going like further ahead, but it was still a little bit of reaction, which is just similar to a pendulum really. Mm-hmm. And so when you just trust your body and let go, and that's where the allowance comes in, and just letting go and surrendering and allow her to guide you what to eat and when, your body's going to be the size. We all have a set point weight anyway, and this is being proven scientifically more and more and more as more studies are being done. We have our bodies have a set point weight where it fights to be at. And so if you imagine like a glass of water with a wine cork in, and you put the cork on the top of the water and it's just bobbing around, that's your natural set point weight. Like if the wind blows, it might like bob like a tiny bit up and then go down a bit. That's your set point. If you diet and restrict and cut foods out and diet for a holiday, you can physically push that cork down by using a lot of effort. But you, in order to keep that cork down forever, you have to keep putting that effort forever. And then when you let go of that, what happens? The cork, not only does it pop above the surface, it pops higher than the set point because of the restriction, and then it bobs back down again. Mm. And most people spend their whole life, I spent 20 years pushing the cork down and it flying back up, me being like, oh, fuck this, push it. It's so exhausting.
And it flies up at an incredible rate.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of energy and it's slow to push it down, and
good
then it
like,
boom, goes back on and more faster. Yes. It could take a month to slim down for something and a week to put it back on.
Yeah.
Like, wait, that was a lot of effort for that. Oh my gosh. Please, 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 can we just channel this to all school children before we get into this? I do think it has shifted a bit because, you know, with there's different idols now, and of course with the body trends being different, even though there's still body trends and there's still some crazy shizzle going on, like for us, the completely anorexic,
growing up,
that size zero situation that we lived through in our really important years, and now it is slightly different. So I've got hope with that, you know, but now it's like, oh, you need the big booty. It used to be the big boobs, didn't it? Everyone's having boob jobs, and now it's like everyone's in the gym doing their like the booty bands.
Honestly, I see, I don't know why, I have advertisements on my Instagram with like a weird bodysuit that you put on and zip all the way up, and it's got an actual like padded bum thing, and I'm like, that's so problematic, I can't even begin to, because whenever something changes and shifts in the paradigm, which is brilliant, as you say, it's getting more and more body positive, there's always some other bullshit like that some diet marketing thing will come up with in order to try and generate cash in order for women who haven't perhaps got big bums, because your set point weight, by the way, is driven by genetics and environment. And you cannot fight that forever. It's like me saying to you again, let's use the money. Gina, if I give you £1 billion and all you had to do was hold your breath for an hour, could you do it?
No.
What would happen?
I'd die.
You wouldn't, though. What would happen? Imagine the scenario.
Okay.
You're willfully holding your breath, trying to for an hour, because you know the £1 billion is there, willfully holding your breath, what would happen before you died and passed out?
Your body would make you breathe again.
Right? That sounds dramatic, but Maslow's hierarchy of needs, air, so oxygen, food, water, or air, water, food, right? It's at the base of the pyramid. So we've got Tesco down the road, but your biology doesn't react from that logical brain of, oh, I'm just restricting because I choose to, because there's no worries, there's like abundant food everywhere. No, all it feels is there's a restriction here because she's thinking of restriction, she's not eating as many calories. So your brainstem, which is like the reptile part of your brain, sends your biology into overdrive, causing you to go and seek high fat, high sugar foods, because it thinks there's a famine. Doesn't give a shit that you've not got abs yet. Unfortunately, your body hasn't really caught up yet to this modern world. And so then you're sat like face planting Ben and Jerry's, wondering what's wrong with you, promising yourself you'll start the diet tomorrow. And so the cycle continues. So yes, you can be healthy and live a healthful, joyful, vibrant life, but any form of like immediate restriction, and again, dieting is not an action, it's a state of mind. As long as you're living from an abundant place and mindset specifically, nothing will change. You'll just keep doing the whole reaction up and down, weight set point going down and flying up. And then people live like that for the rest, for the whole lives.
Wow. So we don't do that anymore.
Yeah, me too. And there's people like us to show them a different path.
Yeah. And I really like this thing of loving, it is possible to love ourselves in all phases and all stages. And actually, the more out of line with what we actually want to look like. So say if you did gain a load of weight, or you get really bad skin, or, you know, something happens that maybe your arm falls off, or I don't know, your eyebrows fall off or whatever. And instead of that being a reason to hate ourselves more and punish ourselves more and restrict ourselves more or whatever it is, we can actually shift that into, I actually need more love right now. Like, this is an opportunity to love myself right now, just like you would a child or an animal. You know, if an animal or if a little child suddenly gets really bad skin, you're not going to be like, oh, you're disgusting. You're going to be like, let's be with this. Let's help you out. You're beautiful. Like, you know, and that's what we need. It's mad that we're wired the opposite way.
Yeah. And it's interesting you brought the analogy up of like no arm, because in my program, one of the audios in terms of diet control and body image, like most people would, this sounds so crazy, would find it easier to accept that they lost an arm and deal with the reality of acceptance of that, compared to accepting that they actually cannot control their body size long term. Their body is what it is. Because we've been sold a lie, and I don't, when I say a lie, I don't mean that everyone who sells diets is out to get us. Of course, I don't mean that. But in terms of like having to look a certain way, we've been sold that. And so we think we can control that, but we actually can't, unless you are willing to push that cork down in the water forever without ever letting it go. We cannot control our body size because our body has a built-in set point weight. So we can spend our whole lives trying, or we can simply ask ourselves the question. In fact, I invite listeners to ask themselves this question now, similar to what Gina shared. What if I loved and accepted myself exactly as I am right now? What if? Because what if creates a possibility. It's not like a toxic positive affirmation that's plastered over pain. You also can't mindset your way through a trigger and trauma response, but create opening that up to what if I loved and accepted my body as it was. Then you start to live from that place. And then again, you can then progress to the affirmations like I am enough, but not until you create the what if, because sometimes it's just toxic positivity over the, you know, the really uncomfortable, painful feelings that are there.
Absolutely. So for example, just saying, I love my body when you don't is toxic positivity.
Yeah. Or,
you know, if you just say, I love and accept myself exactly as I am, the subconscious is like, you know, you're an idiot.
Exactly. It's cognitive dissonance, and it makes you feel worse.
Yeah. But that little hack, what if I love and accepted myself exactly as I am right now? I love that. I always say, I choose to live in a reality where, and then whatever it is. So it's like it feels empowering, but that's really simple. What if? Love it.
Just simply, and then as you know, the way the unconscious mind works, it's a slave for the conscious mind. You plant that there often enough, it will go like a little slave finding, we attract what we believe about ourselves, finding proof and evidence that, okay, you're asking yourself this question, what if I loved myself as I am? It will find evidence to show you what that looks like, because we attract what we believe about ourselves. And before you know it, you look at the weight gain you might have perhaps experienced. You also appreciate you've gained so much more than simply just weight. And then your mindset completely shifts. So it's like at the start of when I work with women, they don't know what they don't know yet. So the mindset that they're in when they come to me is usually I cannot, and I don't know how, which is why I need help. I cannot accept myself unless I'm in a smaller body. Mm. And my response is, I understand exactly how you feel. That was also me all those years ago. But when you go through this deep inner work, things start to shift. And so you know the things you don't even know, that you're aware of that you don't know, which sounds like I'm speaking in riddles right now. But you know that, Gina, like when people find out what they don't know and then embody that, yeah, everything shifts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when I used to spend most of my mental capacity on wanting to be different, you know, not accepting myself unless I was this, and trying with all my might to get there and pushing the cork down, as you say, spending all my energy pushing this cork down to just watch it pop up, to be a failure, to then spend all that energy pushing it back down. And that's a really hard to get back on that horse every time you fail. Yeah. And when I actually just quit doing that, well, like cliche, I got my life back, but everything that I've created, like a book, all these courses, all the even this, all everything, all this travel, that came from the space that I had from not trying to diet anymore. And my body's pretty much the same. It's the same, you know?
And heaven, yes. Heaven, yes. Like I created my business when I gave up dieting.
Yeah.
Because it literally takes over your whole entire mind. And I know we're getting to the end, so I won't go into this in too much depth. But if you take a look at even where dieting came from, it's a form of like women's suppression.
Oh.
Because we're so goddamn powerful. Oh, wait, what can we make women preoccupied with so they don't understand their power? Oh, yeah, let's just teach them that they need to diet forever. Mm-hmm. Job done. They've done a good job, don't you think, until now?
Nailed it. They nailed us.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
We rose, you know, it was all part of our journey. I love that you brought that in right at the end. Also, you did mention something about permission.
Permission slips.
Tell us, give us some.
Permission slips. So the biggest thing that helped me on my journey was, and I recommend every single person listening and watching do this, go on your social media and purposely every day follow and look at women your size or bigger that are, in cliche quotes, living their best life. Because what that is doing is, and this is what I give the women permission slips, when the ones that work with me, that you're seeking permission to be yourself. And that sounds so simple, but it's so goddamn powerful. Because I have a thing about, not anymore, I used to have a thing about my legs. Like I've got big legs, strong legs, like most of my weight is on my legs. So I would purposely find women who had a similar body size to me, who were like confident and genuinely happy in their own skin. And that gave me a permission slip to like do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so absolutely going and finding your own permission slip that you don't need, because you can give your permission slip to yourself, but we're human, so you know, we need support.
Yeah, we need help. We want help. We want to make it easy. Yeah, we want
exactly.
to make it. I love yeah. that. Yeah. And it's amazing. Like when I'm really, really all good and everything's great, people stop me in the street all the time, and they'll say things like, wow, I wish I could own it as much as you do, or I wish I could wear that, or wow, you look great in that, like it's great to see a woman with curves like walking confidently or whatever. And I'm like, thank you, and I receive it all, and I'm like, yeah, been on a journey with it, and I'm killing it, and I'm working it, even, you know, recently where I've been 2 stone heavier, and I'm like, yeah, I can rock it any weight, any size, I can absolutely rock it, that's my belief. And then on a day where I'm not as like, you know, not as in my power for whatever reason, or I'm stressed, or something's going on, or something, I noticed, or I caught myself thinking, oh, they are saying that because they're so surprised that someone as big as me could ever love themselves, because they wouldn't be able to. Do you see, like, that was something I caught recently. I was like, wait a minute, that's the same energy as when I used to be a model. And I used to think people would only book me if no other blonde was available.
Wow.
That's what my mind twisted it into. So it doesn't happen very often, but that's something that my mind can do. And I'm like, oh, caught you.
I remember reading your post about that, because I thought that was really interesting. And I guess it just shows that the fear, the ego, is trying to override. It's almost like the fear is looking at the highest, best version of you that you live most of the day. And it's like, how dare she just be herself and fully love herself? No, we can't be having that. And so it tries to keep you smaller. You know, I've experienced similar myself, but, you know, just as we wrap up, something that I spoke with one of my clients with today, she was saying like, when she looks at women her size or bigger on the internet, she can see them and think that they're sexy and beautiful and confident, but she cannot see it in herself, even though they're bigger. And I said, okay, tell me more about that. Like, what is it really that you're attracted to or that you envy or adore in this woman doing this thing? And she's like, you know what? It's her confidence. It's not her body specifically. It's the way she's showing up as herself. And that's exactly it. When someone is showing up unapologetically as themselves, you may have a judgment of like they're weird or whatever, but you're still watching them because you wish you could also just be yourself.
Oh yeah, that is so important to know and so priceless. I wish again that I'd have known that 20 years ago. I wouldn't we'd have been able to receive it.
Well, I don't, because you wouldn't be the woman you are today teaching all the wisdom that you teach.
And you wouldn't either. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Amazing. Well, this has been mic drop after mic drop after mic drop. I feel like I definitely want to get you on again to just discuss the other million things that we didn't get to.
Yeah,
but
so much.
Such a juicy episode. Thank you so much for your time and your journey and just your radiance and your message. It's so powerful. I've been in constant goose pimples this whole time, like yes.
resonate.
No,
you're welcome, Gina, and honestly I would love to come on again, because there's so much to talk about around this, and I want to just let it all out and have women understand that there's nothing wrong with them. They're not crazy for eating brownies out of the bin after they've doused it in washing up liquid, which is exactly what I used to do. Eat in secret. You're not crazy. You're not alone. You can accept and love your body, even if it might sound the most alienist thing ever to you. I promise you it's possible for you. And so this is why I just want to give all of this with love, so your listeners can receive. And then, as you say, the self-love ripple effect changes the world.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so, so much. And we'll pop it all in the show notes, but where can they find you and what can they buy from you? What can they do with you?
Yay. So my website has all my social media links on, and you can also get a free taste test to my paid program, the Body Love Binge. So definitely go and check that out. My Instagram and Facebook's all linked in. My Instagram was unfortunately hacked, so I've had to kind of like start again. But I'm still in there every day sharing my love and my knowledge and wisdom. And reach out to me. You know, I'm very like, my virtual assistant helps me a lot, but I am always at the end of my DMs because I love to connect and hear your story. So just reach out to me. Oh, and I have my own podcast, which Gina has been a guest on, called The Body Love Binge on any platform.
Yeah, such a great name. And thank you, lovely.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
If you've loved this podcast, if you have taken anything away, then do everybody a favor and please share it. Leave a 5-star review. This will help us to get noticed, to get seen, and for more of the right people to hear it.